Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, radio family. This is Sister Judith, and I welcome you to the broadcast today. I'd like to begin the broadcast by sharing a scripture found in the book of Philippians, the 3rd chapter, verse 13. Paul writes, "Brethren, I count not myself to apprehended," and I'm going to share sort of a paraphrase, "Brothers, I'm still not all I should be, but this one thing I do, here is my one aspiration, but I do concentrate on this." The King James says, "Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, stretching forward, straining every nerve for that which lies in front, I press toward the mark or the goal for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus," the upward calling, the prize of God's heavenward call. Just to read it straight through in as terms of the King James, "Brethren, I count myself not to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." This was his avowed purpose, his vision, his goal. And so I'd like to spend a little bit of time just looking at that. That's something that we constantly need to hold in front of our minds to refresh ourselves, that we can't change the past, but God is calling us to a new day. He's doing a new thing. Shall ye not know it, the book of Isaiah says. And so I'd like to start by looking at some pretty basic or obvious things. And let's start by looking at our physical bodies, our physical ability or function. In fact, it's so basic and obvious we may never have given it much thought. And that is the structure of the human body. He has allowed us humans to walk on 2 feet. We're only designed to walk forward. Our knees only bend in one direction. If we try walking backward, that's to invite calamity. Why? Because our eyes are positioned in the front of our heads, not on the side where our ears are, for example, as fish or birds. It's impossible for us to turn our head more than 180 degrees. And so that's how we are constructed physically. But now let's look at some moral considerations, some interesting considerations about the back, if you will, or to backslide. And by definition, to backslide means to lapse morally or in the practice of religion. The Hebrew idea has the concept of going back to an old life of sin or idolatry. In the New Testament, it involves a change of the believer's state before God. It describes the changing and imperfect condition of his soul from moment to moment as affected by backsliding. Proverbs 16 and 14 says, "The backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways." There's a lack of spiritual progress, if you will. Unger's Bible Dictionary says that backsliding results in a change of experience involving corrective chastening, a loss of rewards or fellowship, a curtailment of usefulness, and in some extreme cases, physical death. So, we are cautioned to avoid backsliding, to going back to where we were, slipping back to a sinful state. But in order not to do that, in order not to backslide, we must walk in the light. 1 John 1:7 says, but if we walk in the light, as He, Jesus, is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Now, let's look at some examples from Scripture. In 1 Kings, the 14th chapter, verse 9, Abijah the prophet says to the wicked Jeroboam, who was king of Israel at the time, you have done more evil than all who lived before you. In prophetically, he declares, you have provoked me to anger, this is speaking now of the Lord, to anger, and have thrust me behind your back. And then, going to the New Testament, we have the words of Jesus that he spoke recorded in Luke, the 17th chapter, verse 32. He was saying, as in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the Son of Man. In other words, when he comes back. And he says, remember Lot's wife. And what happened to Lot's wife? Well, she was, Lot and his family was told by the angel, don't look back. And she did, and was turned into a pillar of salt. Also in 1 Kings, the 18th chapter, verse 37, we see Elijah praying. He was at that time at Carmel with the Baal prophets, and he prayed, answer me, O Lord, answer me, so that these people will know that you, O Lord, are God, and that you are turning their hearts back again. In other words, back to the worship of the true God. Now, we understand we are continually in spiritual warfare. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, including our own. But Jesus, beloved, was our perfect example. He was fully man and fully God, and he demonstrated man's proper response to Satan's kingdom. Man is to exercise authority given by the Lord as our birthright to defeat the enemy on earth. Now, in the very beginning, before sin entered, man had been given by birthright, if you will, dominion over all the earth. But when man sinned, our first parents sinned, that authority was relinquished and given to the god of this world, who is Satan. But Jesus, the second Adam, if you will, wrested the keys of death and in hell from the evil one, and he has now given his children the ability and the power to defeat the enemy in our lives and in those around us as we pray. In Luke, the 4th chapter, verses 6 through 8, Satan offered Jesus authority over the earth, but Jesus answered, it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. And what did he immediately say preceding that statement? He said, get thee behind me, Satan. And we know in another instance recorded in the Gospel of Matthew, the 16th chapter, verse 23, when Peter was trying to rebuke the Lord, if you will, about going to Jerusalem to be crucified, the Lord had a comment to him. He said, get thee behind me, Satan, for thou art an offense unto me. Other translations translate that phrase, get out of my way, get out of my sight, get behind me. And beloved, we are called to forget those things which are behind and to reach forth unto those things which are before. And sometimes we have many battles regarding an inability to be really free from the past. There's layers or levels, if you will. The first level is guilt or regret or condemnation. And that's the result of past behavior. And of course, we can go to the Lord and ask forgiveness for that. And then the second deeper level is the arena of the soul or the emotional realm. With your heart, beloved, you're committed to going forward, to progress, to mature through the Word of God. Hebrews 4:12 says, the word is as a sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. It's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And we're transformed by the renewing of our mind. And so our mind is the controller. Having the mind of Christ will take our emotions captive to the obedience of Christ. Now, whatever habit patterns you may have established in your past, We need to go to that deeper level of the emotional or the soul realm. We have emotional responses that are conditioned by previous experiences. For example, you might have a mother-in-law who always criticized you. Well, beloved, how can we make the unpleasant pleasant? Well, that might seem an impossibility, but that we can do that by allowing our subjective response to things or situations to view them in view of the authority of God's Word. What is it that you dread or dislike? What are the things about yourself that the enemy would make you feel can't be changed? This relates to all the I can'ts that we offer before the Lord. But Philippians 4 and 13 says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. In the natural, we're so resistant to change, especially of our habit patterns. What's the root of it? Fear, comfort, and security in the unknown things that we are used to. Fear hath torment, the scriptures tell us. But we have to remember that the I am is with you in the here and now. What is the remedy? Well, the spiritual warfare that we're in, 2 Corinthians 10:3 and 5 says, For if we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Satan attacks our minds and through our emotions in many cases, but if he can control our mind, he can control our behavior. Therefore, the Word of God admonishes us to renew our minds and to resist the enemy. Romans 12 and 2 says to renew our minds to prove the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Individual mental strongholds are habitual ways of thinking, and when we build a habit or practice way of thinking, it becomes a stronghold in our minds. So what's the answer? Awareness and recognition, acknowledgement and repentance, and to reckon ourselves dead on the cross. Romans 6:11 says, Likewise, reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive in Christ Jesus our Lord. We can reprogram our minds with Philippians 4 and 8, Whatsoever things are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Praise God. Well, my time is gone, and I must bring this broadcast to a close. Thank you for joining me. Until next time, this is Sister Glass. Say, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
Well, this has been the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Sister Glass. Thank you for spending time with us. We pray it's been a time of ministry and encouragement for you. If you would like to write to Sister Glass, there are a couple of ways you can do so. You can write and address your envelope to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code, or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop Sister Glass an email. Again, write to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho, 83606, or send her an email through our website, unveiledchrist.org. And please remember that your prayers and tax-deductible support allow this ministry to continue on this station. Until next time, God bless.
Oh.